Blog Talk Radio.
It's February 5th, 2015, and I was sitting this morning contemplating before we came on the air and, you know, thinking, obviously we've had, you know, in the last 2 years that we've been on the, having a radio program here, we've had almost 37,000 listens to the program. And I hope out of that 37,000, there's been some tidbits of good information from the Word of God that you can add or that you can have be in your life that's going to transform you and make you new because you're listening to God's Word, not listening to me or anything I have to say. But, you know, it is my program, and I say some things, and obviously they're based on what I feel and what I think according to what the Word of God says, or at least what I see that the Word of God is teaching us. I'm fallible. I make mistakes. I've had a couple of days of goofiness and fun with a couple friends of mine, and if you've gone back in the archives and listened to those, you might get a laugh. I know I've heard some people say that because we're just being goofy and funny and just being regular guys and not vulgar, filthy, just funny and goofy, talking about being bald. And I realized, you know, getting up this morning and stuff, I feel pretty good. You know, I actually rested. You know, interesting. My Ray's got a cold, so if he does have to talk to anybody, it's going to be kind of odd, but you heard get over that. But I look at that and I think, well, we woke up this morning, we're alive, it's great. That's a good thing, even if everything else is pretty much messed up. But as I looked at things, I grabbed a couple of deals, you know, the little stories off my one page that I look at, and Christian news that's, you know, behind the scenes that people really don't even listen to for the most part, for the average person doesn't hear. Looking in through what the scripture is, what we're talking about, there's two groups of people, really. Those that are saved and those that aren't. I mean, when you boil it down, it's those that are saved and those that aren't. I still look at it the same way. I like to look at it this way. Those that are saved and those that will be or can be. I don't want to just look at people like this black and white and say, you guys are going to hell and you guys are going to heaven. I don't know. There's those that are saved, truly born again, and then those that aren't. Many of the ones that aren't born again think they are. They call themselves Christians. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And we have people calling them carnal Christians. I remember that when I first got saved. Fence sitters and fence straddlers. And I read one article and said that. And I remember I used to say that too. But I, you know, over the period of years of knowing Christ, I go, how can you do that? You either know Christ or you don't. Now, you may make mistakes in your life and have thoughts and ideas that, you know, you find out they don't really line up with God's Word, and you have to change them. But for the most part, you're either saved or you're not. You either really know Christ or you don't. And I was looking at some different things this morning, and I want to bring something up, and this is, again, opinion. I am not throwing anyone away. I like and respect these guys, but I think we have a little bit of a problem in where we're getting a lot of our marching orders. You know, here in the Northwest, there's been a real boon in the last few years of Seattle Seahawks fans. And you get people in the last couple of years, and I've talked to some personally, mainly gals that have never followed football, never watched football, and they've just been enamored with the attitude, and I think there's a real gentleness about a lot of the guys, especially Russ, Russ Wilson. And I look at him, and a gentleness and a maturity for a young, you know, mid-20s kid. And I say that, I don't say that in looking down at him. I just say he's a youngster. You know, I have kids almost twice his age. So it's easy to look at that and go, wow, you know, yeah, they're young, they're smart, they're sharp, they're athletic, they're great role models for that aspect. But I just got to be honest. And if I could sit down with those guys and just have a, you know, they probably have a vitamin water and I'd have a coffee, but and just tell them, guys, guys, let's look at this. Let's put this down and think about it for a minute. I'm looking at an article, and it says, Q13 Fox News, congratulations to Richard Sherman and Ashley Moss on the birth of their first child. Now, I know there was a little bit of thing about that, and is he going to play, and da, 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 da. And we talked about that, and we looked at that. We looked at Richard Sherman. He's kind of loud, but he's, you know, academically, he was awesome in college. He's come out of a tough area where he grew up, and I've actually been down in that area and seen that, and it's a tough area no matter what. It always has been and probably always will be, but for him to rise to the level that he did, not only in academics but in athleticism and how he is and how he carries himself, and the guy dresses sharp, he's handsome, just everything about him. But folks, there's a problem. It's not just Richard Sherman and Ashley Moss, people that kept their, you know, maiden names. They're not married. Other headlines say, congratulations to Richard Sherman and his girlfriend. Now, I'm not judging him, not throwing him away. You know, Russ Wilson sent him a little tweet and said, hey, congratulations, bro, you make a great dad. If you ever need a babysitter, give me a call. You know, and that's great. Russ knows Christ. But Russ's, you know, marriage went just gone. And he's a young man, too, and he just went south. Now, you can't, they're obviously going to be in the limelight because they're well-known professional athletes. But whatever happened to morals? Whatever happened to, and I, the reason why I bring this up, and I'm, again, not judging these guys, but about commitment level and about what's going on. Now, they're only doing what they've mirrored. They're mirroring what there's been in their life. We see Richard Sherman and his mama. We see Marshawn Lynch and his mama. In Russell Wilson's case, his father passed away, but we see him and his mom, his grandma, and all the other people. But we don't see, a normal, average, regular, for many centuries, family of a mom and a dad and the kids. And so it's just another part of the puzzle. Oh, really? The puzzle. Hang on here. The puzzle. They might just call in. We don't know. You guys listen up for a while here. But the puzzle, as it were, we have a puzzle, and this puzzle is such that we are trying to do this big puzzle of life, and the pieces keep getting moved around. Now, these guys, I know Richard has not claimed, at least I heard anything about him claiming Christ yet, but it's a new day. It's people have got things going in a new way that is just not committed. Let me read the scripture to you so I can show you there's a contrast. And I use that because it's prevalent. I'm not just picking on Richard. I'm not. He has the potential to provide for a family and provide all those things. And he may be solid, and he may be with Ashley Moss until she's 95. I'm just saying things have changed, and it's weird to be a dinosaur that's alive in a world that has just spun weird. But listen to this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. So we're getting a picture of who is righteous and isn't righteous. Now, we're not righteous, but we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, for this is the message which you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. See, we have the bad guy wins and the good guy loses. It's just odd. We see that all the time. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. If the world hates you, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Now, a lot of these guys are doing some great stuff, like what Russ Wilson does on Tuesdays and goes to the hospital, and how these guys help and they share. And they're doing actually more stuff biblically, even if they don't know it, than a lot of the church is doing. So they are actually doing some of the good stuff that we should be doing as a church. But that in and of itself does not qualify them for heaven. We can't just say, well, this guy did that and this guy did that. Let me show you this article called The Puzzle, just a couple sentences of it. Something sinister is going on in our country, something evil and something cunning. A puzzle has been set before us. Pardon me, and many Americans are going blithely about their days. However, there are many more who have awakened to the fact that we as a country may be facing hard times ahead. The puzzle is coming together rather quickly now, and we can only guess what the final picture will be. Before I finish that and continue on, think about it. All these guys that are doing all this stuff are millionaires. I mean, Richard Sherman's, these guys have money, they have position, they have power, they have clout, they have all these things at their disposal. And we need to understand that, and they're setting the stage. So we have people looking up to them and their lifestyle and the way they live as being right. Now, I want to add in this. My wife and I were engaged for 2 years. When we got married, I had my parents' address, although I was actually, well, I was still actually, that was my home of record. I was actually at another place, but it didn't matter. I lived in my parents' home, and we had our apartment. We weren't even in it. Nobody was in it. I lived at my parents' house. My wife lived at her mom's house, and so when we got married, we had, on our marriage certificate, you know, our license application, there were two different addresses. Now, trust me, I've done hundreds of weddings, and I would say out of those hundreds of weddings, there is literally, you can count on one hand, or maybe two, but I would say one maximum of two hands, 10 people that had different addresses. The rest of them all had the same address. And why was that? They were already cohabitating. Are they evil? No. Are they wrong? It's up to the Lord. But here's the thing. We've changed. Now, I think it should go back to the other way. But we have all kinds of financial aspects put in, the way the system has changed, the way our society has changed, the way tax system and all that other stuff. It's a new day, you know, as I think. Here's the problem. I wasn't a godly person. I was an absolute heathen. We were just doing what the status quo said, and what it was is taking responsibility. When people were in the situation that Richard Sherman is in, having a baby with a girlfriend, you didn't even talk about it. Now, maybe part of that's good because then the child can get more nurturing. But I got an idea, just a potentially interesting idea. Why not take care of the business at hand and take it back before that? These guys all have a different example that they've been set in how they were raised. Many of them single-parent families. Is that normal? Is it okay? Well, it's okay because you have to do the best you can. But it's not the average. Although, here's the problem. Maybe today it is. I don't know. I got another thing to think. Just part of the puzzle, because this puzzle, it just keeps getting spun. Here's another part. Why is our military, the greatest military in the world, being dismantled? Why have so many army generals been fired or retired? I honestly can't remember when I was in the military, people getting riffed like that. Well, riffed a little, but fired, and then guys just retiring out of the blue. The U.S. Navy has been ordered to dock their 5 nuclear-capable ships together. Why would they be docked? Why would they be basically, you know, put away? Violent terrorists have been released from Gitmo to once again wage war against Christians and Jews. That's a weird thing because it's really their focus. Why would we release these guys while we're still engaged in battle? Because we can keep people as long as we're engaged in battle with them. Why is Iran being given more and more time to achieve their goal of nuclear capability? Why would that be? Why can Muslim prayers be heard in our universities when Christian prayers have been outlawed? Literally shut people down. Why? As Judeo-Christian values diminish, there's something that's really raising up. And what is it? Islam. It's making inroads all over our society, and it was never here before. I guess it's a one benefit of the one blessing of being able to live as long as I have, is I remember in America where that was not the case. And again, remember, I was a heathen. I didn't know Christ, and I was never upset about Christmas. I was never bugged when people prayed. when President Kennedy was shot, and we didn't know that he was dead on the scene, dead on the site. We just knew he was shot. We were going to pray for him. I knew that prayer at that time in my life, it was just like everybody's quiet and you kind of, you know, kind of be quiet and introspect. I didn't know people were actually talking to the creator of the universe because I didn't know Jesus. But I didn't have a problem with it. I wasn't uncomfortable. I wasn't weirded out about it. And it goes on in this article, but Jim Torres, he says, all of this activity has increasingly become a great puzzle for those who don't know Bible prophecy. And I believe that. I believe that we don't understand about the prophetic word of the Word of God, and we don't understand how to apply that. They don't know what to make of the political system we have, the increasing crime, the national unrest, and here's what a lot of people are saying. Well, this is just a phase, and it's going to get better. Look, I just watched gas go down like $1.90 a gallon. Now it's all the way back up to $2.07 again. I mean, what's with that? What's with all this vacillating? How does that happen in a couple of days? I mean, it's just ridiculous. Have you ever driven by car lots and seen literally hundreds of brand new vehicles, rows of maybe 20 or 30 beautiful trucks, 2015, 16, whatever year's out now. Isn't it weird how they have 2016s out and the beginning of 2015? Anyway, I don't see people just screaming down there and buying $60,000 trucks and driving them off. I may have pushed that a little. Let's say $45,000 trucks. Bottom line is they just don't sell them by the droves. You have 10 salesmen or 5 salesmen in there, and they're all waiting to shark you when you go in. People aren't spending money. And we're hoping that things will return to normal. Here's the problem, folks. They are not going to be returning to normal. Okay? They are going to do exactly what they're doing, and it's going to continue to increase as that day draws near. And that day is the return of Jesus Christ. And it's coming close. I believe is that the end of this Christian era approaches. Interesting, Benjamin Netanyahu has been invited here, and he has to come in the back door. The prime minister of the only real ally we have in the Middle East that we can trust has to come in the back door. The president of the United States is upset that he's coming. We are really in bizarre times. We are in very, very bizarre times. And I think that we need to look at this and go, wow, maybe we need some adjusting. Maybe we need some change. Maybe we need to, put our faith in action. The last verse said this, little children. And it's interesting how John talks to his audience as little children. It's kind of like, you guys need to learn. You think you know, but you need to learn. Let us not love with word or with tongue. In other words, we can say a lot of stuff, and we have a lot of words that look good. But our deeds, what are our deeds? Word is fine as long as your deed follows. What's the truth? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Brian Williams, this may sound skewed, but listen. Brian Williams, a anchor for NBC News, has been speaking for 12 years about how he was in a Chinook helicopter in Iraq and they were shot at with RPGs into the tail section and some AK-47 gunfire and brought down in the desert. And it just came out, and yesterday he admitted that he was in a follow-up helicopter that was an hour to hour and a half behind that helicopter that did get hit. And when he went on TV and kept interview after interview, said that, you know, basically what he said was that he was in a Chinook that got shot down, and they were able to, you know, make the landing. If anybody knows anything about helicopters can be shot, can be messed up. You can actually auto-rotate and set one. You get one set down, you know, okay. But he didn't say that part. He just said they were shot with RPGs and they went down. Well, it turns out he was not in that helicopter. And when he posted that, somebody said, sorry, dude, you weren't in my helicopter when it went down. Because this guy was in the helicopter. And then he goes, oh, I misspoke. I made a mistake there. I was in the follow-up helicopter, you know, and over the time. You see, here's something, folks. You do not forget if you're in an airplane that's shot at and then has to go down. You don't forget that. You don't misspeak that. You steal valor of the true warriors that brought that thing down safely. That's what you do. You steal the valor. And he went and made some little apology on television. He lied and made it all up. So how many other things did he do that? And I'm saying you can do that. Doesn't matter what television station you're on, whether it's NBC, CBS, Fox, I don't care where it is. If you're lying and making up stories, then you're in real trouble. I've done specifically since I was in the military from 70 to 74, made specific to everyone that I've talked to. I was in during Vietnam. I never went to Vietnam. I have people say, well, you're a Vietnam vet. I am not a Vietnam vet. You want to say Vietnam era, that whatever. But I was in during Vietnam, did not go to Vietnam. As a matter of fact, I never left this country until I actually got into the ministry. And that wasn't until 1980-something. Well, actually, saved. So it had to be we went to Japan. And then, I mean, you look at it and you go, okay, tell the truth. It's very simple. Just tell you what happened. And make sure you hold on to that. You don't forget. And that was I was in the military 45 years ago. This is 12 years ago for Brian Williams. He was not in a helicopter that was shot down. So we have people reporting news to us that are not trustworthy. Let me tell you what's trustworthy. God's word is trustworthy. You can trust what God's word says. So if we begin to speak the word of God and then our deeds line up with it, we'll be in good shape. Now you got to know Christ. I go back to Richard Sherman. I don't know if he knows Jesus. I don't know what kind of upbringing he had. But you know what the honorable thing to do is to marry that woman, commit your life to her forever, as long as you both shall live. But we have people that are just going, well, that's kind of archaic. That's kind of yesterday. And we're saying, what? Look at what the Word of God teaches us. The Word of God teaches us something different. The Word of God teaches us about commitment. And commitment today is temporary. I'll commit if you commit. If you stop committing, I'm done committing. All this thing of prenuptial agreements. Before we get married, we write all the agreements down. What is that saying? You're setting yourself up for failure because you're going to divide everything up before you ever divide up. So you've got it all set. If anything goes south, then I get this and you get that and we're good to go. What are you doing? A business deal? Are you forming a corporation? A marriage is brought together, two people, and they become one. The Word of God is where we get our idea of marriage. Otherwise, it's just animal instinct and doing whatever you want to do. I'm not trying to rip these guys apart. I think they're far above the average person that's out there doing stuff, but we need to look at it and realize what that actually means. It means something. It really does mean something, and we need to understand that people need direction. Now, if they get it from other people, they're obviously going to pattern their life after that person. If they're getting it from you and they're patterning their life after your life, where are you getting your marching orders? From someone that taught you, from some other people, from what you just thought up? I'll tell you what, the only way you know you're going to do well is if you get your marching orders from God. And it specifically tells us. Now, we will see tomorrow, which is, let's see, tomorrow, Friday, yeah. Either Friday or Monday, depending on which day we do this, we're going to see answers to prayers. I'm praying that there will be a revival. Is there going to be one great revival before the return of the Lord? I don't know. I don't know that there is. But I know that it looks like, to me, the stage is set to where we are so close to the return of Christ that it could be a lot sooner than many, many people think. Never naming a date, never even really naming a year. That's ridiculous. I don't think that's good. There's some guys out there doing that. They're trying to be careful and doing it in a careful way. I don't think we should do that. But I do think we should understand that the return of Christ is imminent to a certain degree. There's some things that have to happen for him to return and for the millennial kingdom and for the end to be completely established, and that is there needs to be a temple built, and that temple will be built in Israel. Now, we have a lot of stuff happening in the Middle East, and if you're not in the Middle East right now, you really don't know what's happening. You're subject to what either someone you know that's there is able to tell you, which is probably pretty good, and to what we can see in the news, and we obviously can know that can be pretty slanted, and even up to including lies. So what does the Word of God say? Well, it says all these things are going to happen. It's obviously going to happen, and according to God's Word, it's going to happen. But I, I've just never had more of a feeling of dinosaurness. You know, it's like what? I don't understand it. We're celebrating things that we really shouldn't celebrate. You know, marriage licenses in our state now, and I don't know how this is going to go nationally, and it might happen nationally. It looks like it very well could. I think there's 36 states now that authorize same-sex marriage. In other words, we've endorsed the practice of homosexual procedures or lifestyle. And so here's the deal. They've changed the marriage licenses. They don't say bride and groom anymore. They don't say bride and groom anymore. I mean, you may not think that's a big deal. But when you couple that with all the other things that are happening, it's a big deal. It's not something that we change kind of back and forth and kind of, you know, body styles on cars, they kind of go back and forth and get a little space agey, then do a little retro. And we're not talking about that. We're talking about an absolute that cannot be changed. I mean, Bruce Jenner can think that he's going to transform into a woman, but he is going to be one ugly chick, and he's not going to be a chick ever. But he thinks he is. That's how insane people are. He thinks he's going to become a woman. You can't. It doesn't work that way. So we have people that are just basically kicking against the goads, and they don't realize how sharp those goads are. They're kicking against the goads. It's not right. It's not going to function. You can do all you want to institute something that makes people feel good about the way they live their life. But homosexual people, in and of themselves, are never going to procreate. I don't care what you do biologically, actually surgically. You cannot make that happen. It will not happen. And so if people should be able to stop and take a little bit of time and go, yeah, I guess you're right. So there must be something unnatural about that because it cannot produce offspring. So there must be something unnatural because if we all did that, we would die out. There would be no more people. None. Zero. One generation, boom. If everybody became homosexual and everybody tried to procreate homosexually, there'd be no more people. 100 years, 200 years from now, there'd be not a single soul left alive, ever, anywhere. It's just normal to think that. And we can go, now is it not fun to be homosexual? I don't know, you have to ask them. They must really enjoy their lifestyle. You can't tell somebody they don't. They must enjoy it. So, the Bible says this. Sin is fun for a season. Sin is fun for a season. And it's funny how food can be sinfully delicious and we eat it all day. You know, oh, this is sinfully delicious. It's decadent. And we eat it. Well, life is that way too. People enjoy certain things and other people don't enjoy certain things. And we're living it like there's no tomorrow. I'm a dinosaur speaking, and I don't know if I'm speaking to young dinosaurs, because I think there's some young dinosaurs out there too. But let's take the word of God to people. And if we have an opportunity, let's share what God says. Again, we're coming up either Friday or Monday. We're going to talk in 14 verses the word love 26 times. So none of this is a hate thing against Sherman or any of these other guys. It's where do we get our marching orders? Are we going to do it with our mouth? Are we going to do it in our deeds? And are we going to base it on truth or a lie? Don't base your life on a lie. Then your whole life will be a lie. Base your life on the truth of the Word of God, and you will be blessed. Otherwise, bad news. So, sorry I didn't get to the caller. I don't know what we got going on. This is kind of different. My whole thing up here is different. So I don't really understand how that works. We'll work on that and see about getting it in there. But tomorrow is the, 6th? So if you want to tune in tomorrow, grab me quick. Tell me that you're the guy or gal or whoever it is that called yesterday, and I'll get you in here. And because we went to the free program, so we got less time. In fact, we only got 7 seconds. So guess what? We'll see you guys tomorrow right here, 11 o'clock. Bye-bye.